Good evening. I'm Mayor John Mutchler. I want to welcome you to the September 3rd meeting of your Ferndale City Council. I'd like to invite you to rise for the salute of our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and you may be seated. And our city clerk, Susan Duncan, will now read the roll call.
Councilmember Czar.
Here.
Councilmember Hanson.
Here.
Councilmember Olson.
Here.
Councilmember Taylor.
Here.
Councilmember Jensen.
Here.
Councilmember Bishop.
Here.
Councilmember Bursch.
Here.
We are all here. Thank you very much. Our next item is for the council to approve tonight's agenda. Looking for a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Councilmember Hanson, seconded by Councilmember Taylor to adopt the agenda for tonight. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed nay. We'll go on now to the public comment. Some quick instructions. Next on the agenda is our public comment. This is an opportunity for community members to comment on items that are not on the agenda for tonight's meeting. If you'd like to speak during public comment, please come to the microphone and state your name and address for the record. Public comments are limited to 3 minutes per person. The council will listen to comments made during public comment, but likely will not respond directly to concerns or questions during tonight's meeting. City staff may be directed to research an issue and make a report to the council at a later date. If you'd like to speak to your council, come up, and here's the microphone. Come on forward. Tell us who you are and where you're from, what you're doing here, and we'll give you 3 minutes, Ramon.
3 minutes is going to be tough. I'll try.
You got to do it in three.
My name is Ramon Lanos, 5945 Vista Drive. So I have something that I have to write so I can do it in 3 minutes. So in anticipation to the water increase, I would like to share some tips to reduce your housing expenses. I'm going to start with the water bill. If you have an old toilet, replacing it will reduce your water consumption by approximately 15%. Another option is to place a water jug inside the tank so you don't have to fill the tank as much. Another option is to do rainwater harvesting for irrigation. It's another way to reduce your water consumption. Another option is to replace your shower heads with low flow shower heads. PSC has a program that will provide them for free. Another bill that we have is a power bill. If you have an old electric water tank, replacing it with a hybrid tank that is 4 times more efficient will reduce your water, your power bill. PSC provides up to $500 rebates for those tanks. Replace your light bulbs with LED lights. PSC also provides a rebate for it. Install a wall-mounted indoor drying rack. Reduces your use of your dryer too. I'm going to now talk about the heating bill. If your house has old or no insulation and you have a gas furnace, CNG provides rebates to pay for a significant portion of insulation replacement. Replace your old windows with double pane windows will also reduce your heating bill. Another option is storage. A lot of people have storage units. If you install a ceiling rack on your garage, you can hopefully pay for the storage and not have to rent another place. If you want to reduce your mortgage, if you construct or remodel your house and add an ADU, it's another great way to pay part of your mortgage. I have implemented all these ideas and they all work. I suggest adding a pamphlet to the water bill and do a survey of how many old toilets are in the city and get a little sense of how much money we can save by replacing toilets and get the public, give them some ideas. You know, just put them on your water bill. Just put a little box that says, I have an old toilet and a tick mark or something. You know? Anyway, that's it.
Thank you, Mr. Lanis. It's a good 2.5, 3 minutes. Thank you very much. Anyone else want to speak to your city council? We will close the public comment. Going on to item B, which is the consent agenda. Council, your pleasure.
Motion to approve. Second.
Moved by Councilmember Taylor and seconded by Councilmember Bursch to approve the consent agenda. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay, and the consent agenda has been adopted. Going on to item C, which is an update on 2019 permits, building permits in our city. We have our assistant planner, Jesse Oshbach. Welcome, sir.
Good evening, Council. Mayor, Jesse Oshbach, Assistant Planner. So typically we bring to you a couple building projects around town, see what's going on. Today we're going to do something a little bit different. Going to look at kind of some building trends between 2017 and 2019. We went back to 2017. We thought it was gave us a little bit of a trend, but didn't go back too far. And anyways, we'll see how it goes. If you guys like it, we thought maybe that we could come back once or twice a year, give you an update and how building permits are doing in the city. So first, we had a lot of building permits. 2017, 205 permits. It dipped a little bit in 2018, 192. And in September 2019, we're already at 137. So the average there is about 190, something like that. It looks like we're going to get pretty close in 2019. These are all building permits, or all permits, not just building permits. Single families, commercial, duplexes, fire alarm signs, a lot of the little ones in there. As you can see, the majority here, by far, are single family residential. In 2017, there was 89, or 43% of our permits, our building permits, were single family residential. 2018, we had 70. At 36%, and in 2019 already we have 72 building permits. 52% of those building permits are single-family homes, and at the current rate we'll reach about 106. So probably we'll outpace 2017 even. Our next biggest contributor are single-family commercial or single-family commercial new. I'm sorry. Commercial new building permits. In 2017, again, was a big year. Dropped off in 2019 and significantly less so far. I'm sorry, dropped off in 2018, significantly less in 2019. Doesn't look like we're going to probably catch up to 2018 this year, but we'll see. Next big one, commercial tenant improvements. These are where a company maybe reconfigures their space, or maybe there's just a shell of a warehouse and they come in and remodel it for their business. 2017-18 we're pretty much tied. Again, in 2019 we're kind of behind the curve. So overall, I think if you look at the each bar there, 2017 was a big year. Dropped off or nearly stayed the same in 2018. It slowed off a little bit in 2019. This is really hard to see. The biggest contributor up there are water and sewer connection rates. These are the top big bars up there. In 2017, between 2017 and 2018, we have a water sewer rate increase, and I think that's shown here in that graph. 2019 is catching up to 2018, so we'll see. It'll probably be pretty close. Next biggest contributor, traffic mitigation fees. These come with both single family homes, but also commercial and other types of development. 17 was actually the smallest year, leanest year. 2018 we had the hike. In 2019 we've already collected nearly $600,000 in traffic mitigation fees. So that's just a brief introduction into where we're at with building permits. And we'd like to come back maybe at the end of the year, halfway through next year, and update you with where we're at and if we see any other trends.
I might have missed it in the introduction, but I don't see any multifamily in here.
Multifamily. Commercial, multifamily is in there. Single family, ooh.
Next question.
That is a really good question. We'll make sure to include that next.
Yeah, because it would be interesting to see the comparison, and then, so I was looking for that. Couldn't see it.
Any other?
Duplex.
Duplex. Single plant, yeah, but no, nothing larger than a townhouse there. Do you guys have any other questions?
Moving along.
Is this something you guys would want to see again in the future?
I think so.
Every 6 months or so?
We could work on the font visibility.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to see it.
Yeah, the formatting.
It's a reoccurring problem tonight.
All right.
Thank you. Very good. Thank you, council. Going on to item D. Next on the agenda is a resolution condemning white supremacy. As some of you may be aware, the resolution that we passed last meeting contained a hidden message, a hidden profanity. As mayor, the buck always stops here. Council needs to have complete confidence in what they are passing, and this hidden message undermined that confidence. I apologize for this for myself and my administration, and at council's direction, we have prepared a fresh resolution with no such hidden messages. Council, what is your pleasure? And I would recommend a motion on the table and then discussion. Councilmember Birch.
I'm not happy with the new resolution. I still clearly see the hidden message. I do. And I would like to make a motion to amend the motion. And just,
well, we don't have a motion yet. So
well, I'm making a motion to amend the amended motion. Just by renumbering the content.
So you feel there's still a hidden message in there?
I do.
Okay.
Could we pull up the resolution? We can assure you that there is no hidden message.
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
Well, I still feel it's the first four whereases still continue to say F-U-C-K neo-Nazi in that order. But if you rearrange the whereases, we can solve that.
So the resolution is right here.
Let's make sure we're all looking at the same resolution. We got the correct one, the new updated one up top here.
Can you tell us what you're reading, and we can circle what you think you're reading? Or?
I'm still seeing the F-U-C-K, right? Those four lines, and that's where it was last time, except it was at the beginning of the sentence.
So could we just take a couple of the whereas statements and just maybe the third and fourth ones and just switch their order? I don't think, it doesn't seem to me like it's intentional at all, but I can see.
I haven't renumbered how I would like to see it, and it's just a real simple renumbering.
Councilor, there's no motion yet, so make a motion, if I could suggest, make a motion. And in that motion, suggest a numbering order. Would that get us there?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I make that motion to renumber the resolution.
So give us the numbering order then.
Okay. Second. Number one can stay. And then I have number 11, which is the second to the last whereas.
Previous version?
Yes.
Okay.
Put that as number two, and the one under that as number three.
This is serious ongoing?
Yes.
That would be number three. So you've given us one, two, and three.
Move four up to behind number two. Then five would go behind number four.
I'm going to admit, is staff got that because I have been lost.
You can have this. And then the rest is fine, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. So there's 11 on here.
Okay. So if they're numbered 1 to 11, which they, that you've numbered them 1 to 11, they're not numbered on our page, can you give us
Wait a minute. Let me see that.
the preferred number. And by the way, I'm 100% confident this is a, this is an accident.
Well, I understand that, but it's, I, this way I feel.
Then I was just reread it so it makes sure it sounds logical.
So. So my three numbering is along here. This would be 10 and 11, making those up there.
So if Mr. Sweeney is clear, oh, this, our city clerk is clear, we should probably read it in the new order. I'd like to have you read it.
Oh, okay.
Because I couldn't call it. Thank you.
Okay. Whereas the city of Ferndale recently discovered neo-Nazi recruitment flyers posted in our downtown, and whereas a previous version of this resolution contained a hidden message that was not in line with our collective values, and whereas this is a serious and ongoing threat to our community and needs to be handled with appropriate solemnity, and whereas knowing that these neo-Nazi activities are occurring in our community compels the council and administration to speak with one voice, and whereas communities must take a strong and united stand against hateful and divisive rhetoric to ensure it does not become common and accepted in our community, and whereas hate crimes and white supremacist activities have dramatically increased nationwide in recent years, and whereas formal action by the city clearly defines the principles and values of our community, and whereas zero is the acceptable amount of white supremacist activity and racism in Ferndale, and whereas illustrating and memorializing our community values is one of the key purposes of a resolution, and whereas the council believes that rejecting white supremacist and racist activities and striving to be a more inclusive community benefits the city as a whole, and whereas the council understands that opposing racism and white supremacy requires continual effort and vigilance, now therefore, the City Council of the City of Ferndale do resolve as follows: that we affirm that Ferndale is a welcoming community to all people, regardless of race, religion, sexual orientation, or country of origin. We stand against racist, xenophobic groups that promote bigotry and hatred. We reject all forms of racism and white supremacy and speak out against anyone who wishes to divide us by prejudice. Furthermore, we resolve to put words into action and work actively to identify ways in which the diversity of Ferndale can be supported and celebrated.
Councilmember, is that your motion?
Yes, it is.
Waiting for a second.
Can I add something to that?
We need a second first.
Greg, did
okay.
Greg.
Oh, my apologies.
Sorry.
Move, Speaker, moved by Councilmember Birch. A modified order. Mm-hmm. Seconded by Councilmember Hansen. Now, Councilmember Taylor.
How do I make an amendment to add a paragraph?
You just make an amendment.
Okay.
I move to, and tell us where to put it.
So I move to add, the City of Ferndale calls upon our neighbors, educational institutions, businesses, religious leaders, government officials, and local law enforcement to develop strategies and actions to stop the rise of threats of violence and symbols of hate speech in our community, to take further steps to ensure that Ferndale is a place where citizens experience inclusion, acceptance, and love.
That sounds like a Section 3 not aware of. Is that okay with you? Is that what you meant?
It's kind of adding, calling upon our neighbors, educational institutions, businesses.
Yeah.
That's not mentioned anywhere in the resolution.
So it's an action, call to action. So it sounds like a Section 3.
Section 3.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a what we should do, not
okay.
Why we should do it.
All right.
Second.
So an amendment was made as she read it, seconded by Councilmember Bishop. Should we read it again? So we got it. Because we're going to vote on this amendment first.
Just the addition?
Yeah, just your amendment.
Okay.
Which would be Section 3 after the first two sections.
The City of Ferndale calls upon our neighbors, educational institutions, businesses, religious leaders, government officials, and local law enforcement to develop strategies and actions to stop the rise of threats of violence and symbols of hate speech in our community, and to take further steps to ensure that Ferndale is a place where citizens experience inclusion, acceptance, and love.
Well said. So you have a motion to amend the main motion. So we're just discussing the amendment, which has a second. Comments? Seeing none, ready for the question? All in favor of adding a section 3 as has been read twice, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The amendment has been added to the main motion. You now have before you the main motion, everything you've heard in the new order, plus the addition of section 3 that Councilmember Taylor brought to us. Discussion. Start with Mr. Burnett.
I just want to apologize to council, to the mayor, and to the Ferndale community for allowing a hidden message to be contained within a resolution, within the previous resolution. Certainly, it is. This will not happen again. It's ultimately my responsibility to review the communications that go out by the city. Hidden messages are not appropriate. The council needs to know what you are asked to vote on and to understand it in the clearest words possible. With that said, I also do stand against hate and bigotry, and I will let Riley continue.
What he said. No, I wish to apologize for my part in this saga. Well, overseeing the communications is his job, usually drafting them is mine, and you guys need to have complete confidence in what's before you, that it is what it indeed says before you. So I apologize for that part of it. There was no hidden message in this one by intention.
Thanks, Jeff. Councilmember, sorry.
I too would like to apologize to council and to the public. Apologize that the hidden message took away from the real message of the resolution, which is extremely important. And I apologize that people felt deceived, both council and the public. So, thank you.
Thank you. Council, are you ready for a question? All in favor of the motion, which has an amendment and has a new order, well stated, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. And the resolution as modified has been adopted. I want to thank staff, thank council, and I only have one more comment on this before we move on, which is that this group, the Patriot Front, believes in using violent action to ensure that only white people are left alive on this planet. That is what our research has brought up. This is a hardcore, evil, inexcusable group whose message and mission belong nowhere on the planet, much less Ferndale. It is my hope that those of you who were critical of a hidden profanity in a city document will be now, instead, transparent, open, and loud and clear about your intolerance for hate groups like this. Ferndale is better than that. There's no place in this town for such bigotry, whether that's racial, ethnic, or religious. I understand the passion against profanity. As mayor, a community member, a father, I want to see the same passion and outrage against all hate. We now go on to the next item on the docket. Next is a resolution of admonishment the council has prepared for council member Keith Olson. Since Mr. Olson was running for mayor against me, I recused myself from the investigation and the executive session where this was deliberated. And though the primary election is over, I could properly preside over these proceedings. I note now that Councilmember Olson, on the day after his peers voted unanimously to admonish him, filed an ethics charge against the mayor and another council member. As such, I will again hand this part of the meeting over to Mayor Pro Tem Kate Bishop, so there is no appearance of a conflict. Council member.
Thank you. So at our last council meeting on August 19th, we went into executive session to discuss the findings of the investigation about the hostile work environment complaint against Keith, Councilmember Keith Olson. And at the end of that meeting, council voted to have a declaration of admonishment prepared for this meeting so that we could have it read into the record. So it's a few pages. I'm going to read it now. Bear with me for a couple minutes, and then I'll be looking for a motion to have this officially entered in the record. So this is a declaration of the Council of the City of Ferndale, Washington, publicly admonishing Council Member Keith Olson for discriminatory, harassing, and retaliatory conduct. Whereas Keith Olson is a member of the Ferndale City Council, and whereas the Ferndale City Council is bound by the provisions of the City Council Rules of Procedure and Appendix A Ethics Handbook, and whereas the Ethics Handbook states, as public servants, we must perform our duties in a fair and equitable manner. This means that elected officials shall not exceed their legal authority to assist private entities or individuals where this would result in preferential treatment, not permitting oneself to be placed under any kind of personal obligation that could lead to expectation of favors, and not targeting anyone less favorably because of their, treating anyone less favorably because of their race, color, creed, religion, national origin, age, sex, or political affiliation. And whereas the Ethics Handbook further states that the behavior of an elected official colors the public confidence, and therefore the City Council and Mayor have a vested interest in promoting ethical behavior and adherence to established levels of professional public interaction. And whereas the City Council's Rules of Procedure in Section 12, Decorum, require that City Council members treat city staff and members of the public with a high level of professionalism and respect, and council members require city staff and members of the public to extend the same courtesy. Personal attacks, insults, interruptions, inflammatory language, and profanity are not permitted, nor are remarks that disparage groups or individuals because of race, religion, sexual orientation, age, or gender. And whereas council members have the primary responsibility to ensure that the council rules of procedure, including the ethics handbook, are understood and followed so that the public can have full confidence in the integrity of their local government. And whereas the guidelines in the Council Rules of Procedure and Ethics Handbook are intended to be self-enforcing, thereby requiring an ongoing commitment by council members to faithfully honor the trust and dignity bestowed upon them as elected leaders and community role models. And whereas the Council's Ethics Handbook regarding undue influence also provides that, as leaders within city government, elected officials need to set the standard through their words and actions by demonstrating the qualities needed to ensure that our workplace culture supports personal responsibility, professionalism, collaboration, honesty, fairness, respect, and accountability. Undue influence involves one person taking advantage of a position of power over another person. Elected officials are expected to engage in the highest level of professional behavior when dealing with city employees or others who are supported by the city. And whereas the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission laws, regulations, and guidance on types of discrimination and harassment provides the following guidance. Harassment is unwelcome conduct that is based on race, color, religion, sex, including pregnancy, national origin, age, 40 or older, disability, or genetic information. Harassment becomes unlawful where, one, enduring the offensive conduct becomes a condition of continued employment, or two, the conduct becomes a condition of, two, the conduct is severe or pervasive enough to create a work environment that a reasonable person would consider intimidating, hostile, or abusive. Anti-discrimination laws also prohibit harassment against individuals in retaliation for filing a discrimination charge, testifying, or participating in any way in an investigation, proceeding, or lawsuit under these laws, or opposing employment practices that they reasonably believe discriminate against individuals in violation of these laws. petty slights, annoyances, and isolated incidents, unless extremely serious, will not rise to the level of illegality. To be unlawful, the conduct must create a work environment that would be intimidating, hostile, or offensive to reasonable people. Offensive conduct may include, but is not limited to, offensive jokes, slurs, epithets, or name-calling, physical assaults or threats, intimidation, ridicule, or mockery, insults or put-downs, offensive objects or pictures, and interference with work performance. Harassment can occur in a variety of circumstances, including but not limited to the following. The harasser can be the victim's supervisor, a supervisor in another area, an agent of the employer, a coworker, or a non-employee. And whereas the City Council has an obligation to protect city employees from behavior of a discriminatory, harassing, and retaliatory nature, including defamatory statements, which could damage and discredit the reputation of city employees. And whereas the city takes allegations of discrimination extremely seriously and is required to investigate and take prompt and effective action to end misconduct, remedy the effects, and prevent it from occurring again. And whereas behavior of a discriminatory, harassing, and retaliatory nature by an elected official towards a city employee or any citizen is unacceptable and will not be tolerated now or in the future. And whereas City Council has reviewed a comprehensive investigation report prepared by Mayor Pro Tem Kate Bishop in response to an employee grievance filed by City Police Chief Kevin Turner against Councilmember Olson pursuant to City Personnel Policy 9024A, and whereas the investigative report details more than one occasion of behavior of a discriminatory, harassing, and retaliatory nature as defined by the EEOC by Councilmember Olson towards Chief Turner, which behavior could constitute a hostile work environment if allowed to continue. And whereas the investigative report revealed behavior by Councilmember Olson towards Chief Turner that went far beyond a petty slight, annoyance, or isolated incident to behavior that would be considered by reasonable people to be intimidating, hostile, and offensive, and which would constitute discrimination and harassment. And whereas the City Council is the only body with the authority to take action against an elected official pursuant to RCW 42.30.110F and RCW 35A.12.120 and the City Council Rules of Procedure and Ethics Handbook. And whereas the City Council is vested with the authority to issue a public declaration admonishing Councilmember Olson for engaging in conduct of a discriminatory, harassing, and retaliatory nature towards a city employee and prohibiting such behavior from ever happening in the future. Now, therefore, the City Council of the City of Ferndale do resolve as follows. That the Ferndale City Council does hereby publicly find that Councilmember Keith Olson has engaged in conduct of a harassing, discriminatory, and retaliatory nature as defined by the EEOC towards a city employee in violation of the City Council Rules of Procedure and the City Council Ethics Handbook. The Ferndale City Council does hereby condemn Councilmember Olson's behavior towards Chief Kevin Turner. Councilmember Olson is hereby prohibited from engaging now or in the future in any harassing and discriminatory actions towards any city employee in the future, including Chief Turner. Councilmember Olson is further prohibited from any form of retaliation against Chief Turner, including defamatory statements which could damage and discredit the reputation of the chief or actions in his role as the chairperson of the Finance and Administration Committee that would prevent Chief Turner's participation. Any such conduct of a discriminatory, harassing, or retaliatory nature, now or in the future, will result in a resolution of censure and removal of Councilmember Olson from all committee assignments. Approved and adopted by the City Council of the City of Ferndale in regular session this third day of September 2019. Thank you for bearing with me through that long document. their action, looking for a promotion.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
So all those in favor of having this, oh, discussion first, I'm sorry. Is there any discussion before we take a vote?
I'm not going to vote for this, and I'm not going to vote against the content. And I don't know if we pay by the word for resolution, but if we pay by the word, well, that's a pretty expensive resolution. But I'm voting against the process. The process, I serve on the Whatcom County Ethics Committee. It's my fourth year. So that's all elected officials serving Whatcom County and their employees. Haven't had one situation like this come forward in 4 years. But we have a committee, private citizens, you know, I was a private citizen, I guess probably have to kick me off now that I'm elected official. But we've had things come forward and the committee handles it before we get into dollars, before we get into investigations. I don't know what this investigation cost us, but I guess it was pretty high. But it's an odd process that the mayor gives it to Mayor Pro Tem, and nothing against what the Mayor Pro Tem did, not a trained investigator. And then here, we're up here serving as judge and jury, and I guess right now we haven't heard anything from the person we're admonishing. And it's just a weird American system that Do you get to defend yourself at any time? The process disturbs me. I think after this, we should form something like Whatcom County, where there's a private committee that looks at a ethics complaint and they decide whether it goes forward. Not a fellow official in committee. I tried to kill it, but then the only two persons that were going to vote for it in committee was one person running for election, the other person just lost an election. I didn't like that process either. So that was the other ethics thing we have coming. So I just don't like the whole process. I don't know how it just worked, and I'm not arguing the content, but I do not like the process, so I'm not going to vote for yes.
I don't know. Would it be appropriate to speak on the process a little bit at this point, because you know, our city attorney Dannon can talk about that for a minute, because it was we're obligated to investigate when a hostile work environment complaint is made by a city staff. We can't ignore that.
Good evening, Council. Dannon Chackler, city attorney. So I respect what Councilmember Jensen is saying. There is a difference here. This isn't an ethics complaint. It's an employee grievance. And so the processes are different than they would be for a simple ethics complaint. And we worked closely with outside counsel on this process. We follow the process in the personnel handbook for employee grievance. And since it was against an elected official, the only way to get to any sort of action is to go through the process, part of the process in the ethics handbook. Unfortunately, the report that is associated with this can't be made public until the 5th of September because of public records requests and notification of the affected parties. But the report itself clearly lays out the process. You know, it tells how we came to the process, how you have the authority to take action, and how Mayor Pro Tem had the authority to take on the investigation. So we are confined to our processes that are established in our handbooks and our personnel policies. So that's how we got to where we got. But again, I want to emphasize, this is not an ethics complaint. This is an employee grievance that we have to take very, very seriously.
Thank you. I don't want to take this too far away, but if this had been an interpersonnel issue, if this had been the same complaint, but it wasn't an elected official, it was just one employee against another employee, what would that process look like, and what would the resulting consequences be for the employee accused of harassment?
It depends on where it goes in the process. Usually it starts with the city administrator. In this particular instance, their city administrator was a witness, so it then goes to the HR department. So it went to Susan Duncan, our clerk. If it hadn't been an elected official, she could have taken care of it through HR. In certain cases, she would have been in the position to make a decision. If the complainant didn't like the decision, it could then be appealed to the mayor's office, and that's how you get to the mayor, and then the mayor pro tem once the mayor recuses. So it ultimately becomes the mayor's decision, and he or she would decide what the outcome would be. So it'd be more of an internal policy or internal action.
And what would the typical consequences be for somebody who was accused and found to be engaging in harassing behavior?
I think it depends on the severity of the allegation, and that would ultimately be up to the mayor. It could be anything up to being dismissed or fired or disciplined in some fashion, having a note put in a report, something like that.
I would just like to say, you know, we did spend a year going over the council rules and procedures, and we didn't get to the ethics handbook yet. And although this was an employee grievance, and I followed the procedure that made sense for that, I would recommend that we come back and look at the ethics handbook and, you know, see what the process is there. I did draw on that a lot through my process of making recommendations and everything. So, you know, I recommend that we finish what we started and go through the ethics handbook. So moving forward, that this stuff can be more clear. And one more comment just to Councilmember Jensen in terms of the cost. I think we're looking at $350 an hour for an outside investigator to do this kind of work, and I did it for my usual monthly stipend, so hopefully there's some value to saving the city. I put a lot of hours into this, so hopefully I saved us a couple thousand dollars. but it did not cost us anything.
I'm not going to let that comment go. It didn't cost us anything. That's not a proper statement to say. We throw staff time and legal time. That's not a proper statement at all.
For the investigator.
Okay, and I thank you for doing that, but that's not a proper statement to say to the public. It costs the public a lot of money.
I'm sorry. That was a poor choice of words. We did not have to pay an outside investigator several hundred dollars an hour to do this, so we were able to handle it internally, and I think when it does come down to city, to elected officials, as is clearly stated in our handbook, that we are meant to enforce these rules on ourselves and each other and hold each other accountable, and there's no one else to do it between elections but us. Is there any more discussion? Okay, if we're ready for the question then, all those in favor of passing this resolution, please say aye.
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 Nay?
Nay.
Okay, it passed 5-2. Thank you. I'll hand the meeting back to Mayor Mutchler.
Thank you, Council Member. And my closing remarks are that I want to thank Council Member Kate Bishop for her thorough and effective investigation in the recent ethics complaint against Councilmember Olson. It is never easy to investigate your peers, but Councilmember, you handled it with fairness and professionalism and dignity, and I want to thank you, and I think the council and the city thank you. And not in my notes, I would like to address Chief Turner and Mrs. Turner. 3 years ago, I asked you two to leave Grantsville, UDOT, and move to Ferndale. I'm quite confident you didn't expect these turns of events, but I want to tell you my regret that you've gone through this, and hope that you have a long and successful and happy future as our chief of police. I'm glad you're here. I think the city is glad you're here, and I hope that you can move on. Going on to mayor reports, I think I have none other than those remarks. Council reports. Council Member Olson and Council Member Jess.
I have no comments at this time, as the city has refused its legal obligation to provide me with a written copy of the materials used in this so-called investigation. They keep extending their own dates to provide me with the materials, yet here we are with a four-page resolution written by the city attorney, not the council. If the city ever fulfills their legal obligation, I will have a lengthy rebuttal at a future council meeting.
Councilor Jess.
Council, I have a request to be excused from the September 16th council committee meeting. I won't be around. And then I'm looking for someone to take over my committee assignment on October 2nd.
October 2nd. Which committee is that, Council Member?
Public Works.
Council Works, that's the early one.
Early.
Council Member Hanson. Thank you. Council, other council members. Council Member Lazar.
The Ferndale Art Commission is hosting a community chalk art festival this Saturday, the 7th, from 10 to 2 p.m. at Griffintown Park.
And we'll be joined by Bay Pops, so you can get a nice cool popsicle while you're doing your chalk art.
Very good. Staff report, community development?
No comments.
Public Works?
Nothing.
Finance?
Nothing.
City clerk?
Nothing.
City administrator?
As council knows, we're starting our union negotiations. We're starting with our police guild negotiations tomorrow. We will put signs on the door whenever we have the negotiations. Each union has requested that the members within the negotiations be confined to the negotiating team from the city and negotiating team for the union. So we will provide you updates as we move forward on that. We have a question for council. We have a number of staff, including our finance director, who will be at conferences in October. We had planned on having a budget workshop on October the 21st, and our finance director will not be there. So the question to you is, would you like to either forego a workshop on the 21st or perhaps extend your committee meeting the week prior to have a budget workshop, say from 10 to 11.
11 to noon?
Or 11 to noon. Oh, yeah, that's right, 11 to noon.
I won't be here the 16th of October either.
Okay. Can you do those 11 o'clock?
Do you mean September?
October.
October.
Okay.
We did an 11 o'clock that day, that committee day. I think you have some notes.
Okay, October 16th from 11 to noon, we would plan on having a budget workshop.
Remind you more than once.
The last thing is the city hosted all of our employees last Thursday for a picnic. It was well attended. We also recognized those employees for their years of service. Department heads purchased the food for them. We have a nice picture on our website, and it was good team building. It's something that we haven't done in many years, and it is really important, especially when we do have a long summer season. We have issues that have the potential to affect our staff morale, that we do take advantage of those times where we are truly a united team, over 80 employees, and I think that it's something that we plan on doing again and again.
Thank you, Mr. Burnett. Communications Officer, Mr. Sweeney.
I know that you guys, there's the beautiful picture from the picnic, by the way.
Ooh.
For those of you who wanted just one more Food Truck Friday, you are in luck. This Friday is our last Food Truck Friday of the year. So come on down to Star Park at 5:30 to enjoy delicious food from Simmering Tava, Our Place Cafe, Crepe Town, and the aforementioned Bay Pops. Going to be a great event. The weather's looking nice. And that will conclude our 2019 Summer of Fun. So stay tuned for the next council meeting. We'll give you kind of a nice little wrap-up, run through the numbers and our plans for next year. But the fun doesn't stop just because summer's over. October, we have not one, not two, but three spooky fun activities coordinated through our recreation this year. On Friday, October 11th at 6:30, we'll be doing a movie night in the community center. We're showing Nightmare Before Christmas, singing along, strongly encouraged. We are also doing our annual City of Frightdale Halloween decorating contest. So deck out your house, because we will have Woods coffee cards for the winners there. And then this year, after the downtown trick-or-treat, we will have, instead of Haunt the Park, an interactive mystery in the park, complete with crime scene and some theatrical performances. So come on down to the Pioneer Village on Saturday, October 26th, for some spooky fun, 5 to 7. That's all.
Chief of Police.
Very good. I'm looking for a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Moved by Councilmember Olson, seconded by Councilmember Taylor to adjourn. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.